escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the newest edition of the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast. So glad that you can join us on Living Word Church Radio. We remind you that you can download these podcasts immediately after it airs on our website, lwym.org. Use this as an evangelistic tool so that you can let other people know about the truth in a world full of uncertainty. I'm Gio, the youth pastor of Living Word Church, and
Sarai.
She is my lovely wife, and we're here to comment on the day's most pressing issues and give you the viewpoint, the biblical viewpoint, rather, of these things. We are Christians. We identify as followers of Christ. So therefore, we need to see the world the way that he instructs us that it should be seen. Why? He is the creator. He is the designer, right? And I guess he has the ultimate knowledge. Not I guess, I know he has the ultimate knowledge of how things work. And I think it's very beneficial for us. And I say this in a semi-sarcastic manner. If we listen to him and adopt what he tells us and what we should do, I think that would be the least that a Christian would do, right?
Right.
I mean, he says it in Luke 6:46, why do you call me master? And don't keep my words. So as a Christian, if you identify as a Christian, you would suspect or expect that that person would align themselves with Christ's words. But this is not what we're finding in our Western culture, at least. More and more people are afraid to speak about the truth of the gospel because it can cost them economically. It could cost them popularity contest points.
Right.
And we have something to report on today that is similar to this. Thankfully, the person who was put on the hot stove did not submit to the diktats of the militant homosexual movement in this occasion. But this could change at any given point. And I think today's program will focus specifically on how two things. Firstly, how it is that people have given a pulpit to people that don't deserve it. And once they give it to them, these persons in turn are damaging to society because their ideas, their notions, their ideology is one that will bring societal degeneration, moral degeneration.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
We've said before that we have severe problems. I mean, we have our objections to people that adulate professional athletes, actors, and people who participate in the music industry. Because in truth, they provide no benefit to society. None whatsoever. And then in turn, the persons who are the recipients of that praise, they believe that since they have that mass heap audience, that automatically all of their opinions have to be true. It doesn't matter if a third party shaped their image in order to garner an audience, as it is in all these industries,
yeah.
Right? But we see that more and more they say, I have these opinions, this is what I believe. And most of the time, these people aren't even principled. They're not principled. They just toe the organization's line that they work for in order to keep their paycheck uninhibited.
Of course.
Coming constantly.
Yeah, they're a talking head.
Remember Donald Sterling? What was it, a month after the situation? ESPN reported in a backroom editorial, as if it wasn't important, that Blake Griffin knew about Donald Sterling's history. But yet, in the midst of the controversy, when that was red hot, as many people say, Blake Griffin played the part beautifully, I say. He took off his t-shirt, he put it inside out, he joined his players. And then everybody that knows or knows the history of the NBA knows that Donald Sterling had this history of being a racist person. And Doc Rivers had no problem signing a multi-million dollar contract because money talks, right? And so did Chris Paul. But guess what? You have to save face now. The one who has to go down is the owner because I need to save my paycheck.
Exactly.
So these are not principled individuals that we are talking about. Now, having said that, I recently read a report on MLB.com. This morning I get into the office. I'm ready to work on a few other things. And I read this. All of a sudden, a baseball player that was a nobody, Billy Bean, not the general manager of the Oakland Athletics, which has become famous for Moneyball and the film Moneyball and the book that preceded the film. We're not talking about Billy Beane, B-E-A-N-E. We're talking about Bean as in the bean. That's the way you spell his name. He played for 6 years in Major League Baseball. He had stints on and off with different teams. He was not that good of a player. He batted around 226, very, very under average player. He did well in the minors, but once he arrived at the big leagues, he didn't do very well. So then he retires. What does he retire? He says that it was due to the oppression that he was receiving in the Major League clubhouse over the fact that he was a homosexual. But yet he kind of contradicts himself because he says that for 32 years, he struggled with his sexuality. So I don't know which one precedes which. So we begin to see the inconsistencies. So I've told you before that he did a Jason Collins. After the fact, in order to garner some attention, he announced, "Hey, folks, I'm out of the closet." And this is opposite of what Michael Sam did. Michael Sam preempted the NFL. I don't know if maybe he had a hunch and his agents told him, "You're not getting anyone to call us for tryouts. So why don't you announce that you're a homosexual," which he is, of course, but why don't you announce it? That way they're pressured via media pressure to bring you in. And we all know how that worked out. Michael Sam is not a good player.
Yeah, and Billy Beane, from the article itself, one can only imagine that now working for the Mets, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's not working for the Mets. Let me give the backstory.
Okay.
Let me give the backstory. He becomes, last year, they name him MLB Ambassador of Inclusion. That is PC speak for homosexual evangelist, right?
All right.
Let me ask you a question.
I didn't know MLB needed that.
I didn't. Well, come on. After the NFL, trust me, you and I were mentioning this off air. They, and what I mean by they, it's MLB took notice of what happened to the NFL and they wanted to preempt it, right?
Of course.
They didn't want a surprise where a player makes his sexuality the center of attention. They want everyone to focus on the baseball and not losing any economic sustenance. They don't want the NBA happening to them. They don't want what happened, the controversy in the NFL recently over Michael Sam happening to them. So they said, let's preempt this. Let's give this guy the title. We'll grant him a paycheck and the militant homosexual groups will leave us alone.
I don't think they will leave them alone. I think this will be... this will bring other problems to heterosexuals. And given the fact that they gave him that position in an MLB, it speaks louder to me about MLB. So I think in the process of trying to evade a lot of problems, I think this is going to bring them problems. But I would say at the same time, it'll bring maybe even Christian players problems, maybe some fines and restrictions.
I wouldn't doubt it. And I think our suspicions will be vindicated once we read his statements. To your point, and to highlight what you've just said, it's going to bring problems for the heterosexuals in the groups and that don't believe, even those that aren't Christians. I remember John Rocker, pitcher for the Atlanta Braves years ago, very outspoken individual. And he had problems with... I think the way that he worded some of his phrases were a bit harsh. Not harsh. I think that's the improper terminology. I think he was a bit coarse in the language that he used. He could have chosen other language to speak his mind. But I remember what they did to John Rocker. They completely removed him from MLB for speaking his mind. And I think, like you're saying, this is going to create... look, this militant homosexual movement has created a special interest group or a group within our society that is given special consideration now.
Of course.
One that is usually reserved for handicapped persons, right? Why do I say this? Now you have to take into consideration, if I don't hire this person, are they going to accuse me of being bigoted, intolerant, and are they going to bring a court case before me because I am supposedly a discriminatory individual, intolerant individual? They use the blunt force of the law in order to go against people that have the right to not associate with
them. Of course. And now that you have someone like this with this MLB ambassador of inclusion, now that you have this position, well, now instead of reporting on who maybe made a record off of bats or home runs or what team is excelling, now the media is going to be always concentrated on the latest controversy versus talent, which is what MLB should be reporting is sports. That's why they are there, to have news and report news about sports. But now they're going to get into politics now, and they're going to get into homosexuality things that at the end of the day might sour a lot of viewers from viewing maybe a sports team on the TV or whatnot, because now they're going to think, well, I just want to get home and watch my favorite game. I don't want to have to put up with all of these shenanigans. So it might sour, you know, some people's palate into wanting to watch the game now.
So like you said, this might be a shot in the foot for MLB, instead of saying we respect everybody's opinions and, you know, doing the politically correct thing, but we're not going to submit to this. We're a baseball organization.
Correct.
And we don't want any infiltration of politics into this. People watch the games not to be sermonized to about inclusivism or this generation's terminology, you know, definition of inclusivism. They don't watch baseball for that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Gio. You're a guy. I really don't follow that much baseball, but it seems to be a family sport. It seems to be every time you watch the game, there's family involved. Families go and take their kids to these games, and now they parents might have in their back of their head, okay, if I take my kid, if I take my family to a baseball game, are my children gonna be exposed to certain things that I don't want them to be exposed to?
Absolutely. Baseball has been considered the national pastime for quite some time now. And it's also been considered a game that parents and kids go to the games to typically. Basketball, you see a lot of that, but mostly it's a lot of adults who go to basketball games. And likewise with football, it's mostly the adults that love watching the ground and pound. But baseball has always been a family-oriented sport, which I think you make an excellent point. And now this brings to mind the very reason why the homosexual militants would want to infiltrate themselves into Major League Baseball.
Of course. And in all the other sports.
Exactly, to try to indoctrinate the impressionable minds, especially. And that in and of itself is very evil. Well, going back to Mr. Billy Beane here. Well, he left sports. He left baseball. He returns back. They brandish him. They christen him the ambassador of inclusion. And lo and behold, Sandy Alderson, the GM of the Mets, asks him to join the Mets during spring training games, for a few spring training games. Now, this is a photo op. Let's make no mistake about this. This is a photo op. The question I have, was this MLB's idea to promote this, or was this Sandy Alderson's idea because maybe he's trying to promote the victimhood narrative of the LGBT movement? I don't know. Those questions are yet to be answered, but if anyone is feeble-minded enough to think, no, they couldn't have machinated this in the back rooms, think again, this is an industry.
Of course.
This is a business.
And if they didn't machinate, why give him a position like that?
Exactly. Once they invite him, what happens? The media being the media, especially the way that they sympathize with homosexual militancy, and of course they abhor Christianity and the ethos that teaches us that it is an aberrant behavior, they immediately approached Daniel Murphy. Who's Daniel Murphy? For some of the listeners that don't follow baseball, he's the second baseman for the Mets, and he's a very, very outspoken Christian, which is the way that all Christians should be, right? Last year, he was mired in controversy, and I think unduly, it was not warranted because he missed opening day because he wanted to be there present for the birth of his child.
That's right.
Being a good father, that's what you call being a good father. And I couldn't believe the amount of vitriol that was handed in his direction because of the decision that he made by Mets fans, by sports fans. And the media never defended him.
Well, that goes to show you the idolatry behind sports, in this case, baseball, because there is a huge idolatry, especially with American football. But that goes to show you, it proves again that people would rather not miss a game and not miss a start for the sake of maybe winning a game, clinching a playoff versus going to the birth of your son.
Amazing. Right. Amazing, isn't it? Well, what happens? The waters were a bit tainted with blood. The media smelled it, knowing that a controversy produces ratings. And they went ahead and they asked Daniel Murphy what he believes. about this situation? Well, Murphy answered, I think, deftly. I would have answered maybe a little bit differently, but I still commend Daniel Murphy for standing tall when many Christians in professional sports are hiding and they're walking away with their tail between their legs. He says, I do disagree with the fact that Billy is a homosexual. That doesn't mean I can't still invest in him and get to know him. Maybe as a Christian, we haven't been as articulate enough in describing what our actual stance is on homosexuality. This is where I disagree with him. This is where I think he became a bit PC. The Christian stance is in the Bible. And all he had to do was say, this is what it says in the Bible about it.
Well, I can understand why he would say that. Because if he's going to your typical PC church, they have stood firm in this gray area where they either A, don't want to choose to talk about homosexuality and where they stand, or they have taken the wrong stance, the anti-biblical stance on homosexuality.
Yeah. Well, he continues by saying that we love the people. We disagree with the lifestyle. That platitude has been used so many times now. Just say, look, I disagree with his homosexuality, and that's it. If you want to brand me a hater, that's your issue. It's not like if I'm not going, which he does clarify. That I have to give him props for. He says, that's the way I would describe it for me. It's the same way that there are aspects of my life that I'm trying to surrender to Christ in my own life. There's a great deal of many things like my pride. I just think that as a believer trying to articulate it in a way that says just because I disagree with the lifestyle doesn't mean I'm just never going to speak to Billy Bean every time he walks through the door. That's not love. That's not love at all. Again, the use of love and the way that this generation interprets love being you permit anything to anybody, no matter if it's damaging. And the loving thing would be to tell that person that they are going to damage themselves. But no, this generation defines it as, don't convict me that I'm wrong. That's what they define as love.
Oh, yeah. God forbid you tell them the truth.
Right. But he's right in that respect when he says it doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk to the man, because the media portrays us as isolationists. Right. And we're not isolationists, right? So here's where I wanted to get to. He posts a blog on MLB.com, Billy Bean, that is, and he says, quote, I have tremendous admiration and respect for Daniel Murphy as a family man. Just last year, he made the decision to miss opening day for the birth of his son and was criticized by some members of the New York media for his choice. Murphy deserved to be commended for putting his family first, and that decision, which led to an invitation to speak at the White House, showed he's not afraid to stand up for what he believes in. Again, I believe that this is the cliche. I respect him. He's outspoken. But here comes the verbal jabs.
Exactly.
They're ready to come. They're subtle, but they're there. Okay, we'll examine this shortly. It says, when I took this job at MLB, I knew it was going to take time, for many to embrace my message of inclusion. Let's stop here. What is he saying? I knew there were going to be bigots. I knew there were going to be intolerance out there. My question is, what's going to happen to the people that if you've been there for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years and still don't agree with their homosexuality, what's going to happen to them?
Or if you vociferate a stance that doesn't go accordingly to his stance or MLB stance, what's going to happen now? Are they going to be fined now? Are they not going to be able to play a certain amount of games now? Are they going to get a cut in their paycheck now? So it puts a lot of things in balance.
There are a lot of things in balance. Expecting everyone to be supportive right away is simply not realistic. You see what I'm saying? He is expecting. He's supposing that as he continues to make the rounds, and I don't know how he's going to do this. Like you just mentioned, I don't know if this is going to be imposed or if he's simply going to go around like a cheerleader for the LGBT agenda. I don't know how this is going to work, but usually the way that these organizations that make billions of dollars work is that they will enforce compliance.
And give it time, Gio. In this aspect, we have to allow time to go. Time will tell and show us and prove to us what's really going to take place and what's at stake.
Absolutely. If you asked anyone who has competed in high-level men's professional sports, I believe they would agree with me. This doesn't change the way I go about my business or my belief in what I am doing, but it's reality. So why doesn't he apply that to other people? That if they can just, why doesn't he respect the fact that they can just go about their daily business without him having to try to convince them that they're wrong in his eyes?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? This is what I can't stand about the faction that says or classifies themselves as tolerant when they themselves are intolerant. It makes no sense. It's complete hypocrisy. After reading his comments, I appreciate that Daniel spoke his truth.
And that's where he's wrong, because it's the truth.
Did you notice that? His truth. That's relativistic. That's not what I believe. It's what he believes. It doesn't make him right. Do you see what I'm going back to the point that I made earlier, these people have now, they feel empowered because they've been given a certain position, or now they have a mass heap of humanity listening to them, and they say, well, my opinions are vindicated. No, it might mean that that mass heap of humanity is as wrong as you are.
Good point.
I really do. I was visiting his team and a reporter asked his opinion about me. He was brave to share his feelings, and it made me want to work harder and be a better example that someday might allow him to view things from my perspective, if only just for a moment. Why can't you view things from his perspective, Mr. Bean? That exactly. Sounds funny, Mr. Bean, right? why can't Mr. Bean see things from Mr. Murphy's perspective?
Well, because remember, Gio, Murphy has his truth, and he has his truth.
Well, Mr. Bean has more of an open mind. They're more open-minded, right?
Yes.
Exactly. We Christians are narrow-minded. We're closed-minded.
Yeah, and we're the bigots and we're the intolerant.
Exactly. As if being an open-minded person is an actual virtue.
And forget about him trying to force everyone to embrace his truth and his ideology. All right.
Now, I respect him, he continues, and I want everyone to know that he was respectful of me. We have baseball in common, and for now, that might be the only thing, but it's a start. I wonder if he's going to continue to single out Murphy because of this. I know he's only participating in some Mets spring training games in the interim, but I wonder if now he has him, being that he is part of the MLB hierarchy, I wonder if now he has placed a target on Daniel Murphy's back.
Or everyone else that he knows is a Christian within the MLB.
And then some people might ask, Gio, why would you assume the worst in a person? Because we know how human beings are. I don't even trust myself. Some might be shaken by that. They might be taken back by that, saying, Gio, are you serious? Are you saying that you're evil? Don't trust me. I don't want you to place your trust in me.
Exactly.
I don't even place my trust in myself. I placed my trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him crucified. I know I can trust in Jesus Christ because he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's consistent. He's perseverant. He's immutable. I can place trust in that. But I'm a human being. Today I might say that I'm this way, and tomorrow I will fall away and I will lead you astray if you allow me to.
Right.
The same way that I don't trust other individuals also. Well, Gio, then living in that untrustworthiness, it gives you no balance in life. No. All the opposite. If you place your trust exclusively on Jesus Christ, then you understand how to read men and you know how to take care of yourself.
That's right.
To take care of yourself from slipping and falling, even though we will have our occasional slips and falls as Christians. And you will also learn how to place trust in other people so long as they begin to prove to you and you prove to them your trustworthiness. That's the way it works within the Christian ethos, ladies and gentlemen. The silver lining in his comments, he continues, quote, the silver lining in his comments are that he would be open to investing in a relationship with a teammate, even if he disagrees with the lifestyle. It may not be perfect, but I do see him making an effort to reconcile his religious beliefs with his interpretations of the word lifestyle, end quote. Again, he is imposing here.
Of course.
He is supposing erroneously. What if Mr. Daniel Murphy says, this is where I'm going to stand, I'm not going to move from it? Is he all of a sudden, like you said, going to impose sanctions on him now? Is he going to look to have him expunged from baseball, Major League Baseball altogether, just because of his sincerely held Christian beliefs? This is dangerous, folks.
Of course.
This is dangerous. And let me tell you, there are so many people out there, like you said beforehand, they use professional sports as an escape from reality. And that is dangerous. You can never turn off your mind for an instant. I always quote Thomas Jefferson. He says, you have to be eternally vigilant. And when he meant eternally, forever, as in it doesn't stop. Some people say, Gio, that tires me out. Well, then guess what? Keep exercising it so you won't be tired. Just like the athlete continually exercises so that he will not fatigue easily, exercise your mind.
Yeah, and the Word of God tells us to be vigilant. The Word of God tells us to examine all things. The Word of God tells us to not uphold man's word to not hold it. In essence, to not put man on a place where that place belongs solely to God. You shouldn't be trusting in man's word. Our duty, your duty as a Christian, is to examine everything. If you're not examining everything, I think it's time that you have to re-examine your Christian walk and see, what are you doing? What are you alluding to? Because for you to go by this Christian walk and not examine everything, that tells me that you're digesting everything you see and hear.
When he says it may not be perfect, but I do see him making an effort to reconcile his religious beliefs with his interpretation of the word lifestyle, why doesn't Mr. Bean make an effort to see things from Daniel Murphy's point of view? Notice it's always the Christians who have to capitulate. It's always the Christians who have to compromise. We're always the ones on the outside looking in. You Christians are the antiquated faction. You are the dissenting faction. You never seem to fall in line with the secularist humanist way of doing things. Why don't you just comply? Why is it impossible for you to toe what we tell you, the line that we tell you to toe? Because God tells me to examine everything. And if that is your attitude, it tells me that your intentions are not good.
Exactly. And the world doesn't tell us as Christians where to toe our toes, where the line is. The Bible is our guide to show us the lines and the boundaries that we as Christians need to abide by and live by. If you only uphold half of the Bible or whatever is convenient to you, it's time to re-examine your walk. Because again, like I've said before, you have to allude to the whole Bible if you're going to hold on to that. You can't allude to whatever is convenient for you.
He continues, it took me 32 years to fully accept my sexual orientation, so it would be hypocritical of me not to be patient with others. Again, why imposing? He's imposing again. Why not just accept Daniel Murphy for who he is?
No, obviously he's waiting for Daniel Murphy to try and come around.
Do you see the intolerance? There's a bigotry here. It's subtle, but it's there. Inclusion means everyone, plain and simple. Daniel is part of that group. What does he mean by this? When he says inclusion means everyone, plain and simple, Daniel is a part of that group, does that mean that he's going to respect him and leave him be? Or is it, I will enforce your compliance?
He'll enforce it.
A major league clubhouse is now one of the most diverse places in sports. It wasn't always that way, but we can thank number 42 for that. Let me ask you a question. When he was playing in Major League Baseball and throughout that stint that he had, couldn't it be said that Major League Baseball was an inclusive atmosphere there anyways? Because even though he was a closeted homosexual, they still allowed him to play. People probably berated him for it because it's not normal behavior. But it still doesn't mean that they wouldn't allow you to play in those pinstripes or in that uniform.
That's right.
Please. Do you see the misrepresentation here? This is an absolute misrepresentation.
The fact that you're there in the MLB should be an example that you have some type of talent, that you're not talentless. Once your talent doesn't prove its colors, you're either going to get benched or you're going to be sent down to AAA.
That's what happened to him. And by the way, the truth of the matter is, again, back to your point that now we're creating a special interest group, a group that requires special attention. Now it gets to the point where now you're not hiring players due to their talent, but due to their sexual orientation.
And that goes to show you that where the scouting might now not look for talent, now they might look to see.
They have to fill a quota.
Are you homosexual? All right, let's go.
They have to fill a quota, exactly. Lastly, he compares this, as many militant homosexuals are doing now, to the civil rights movement. It wasn't always that way, but we can thank number 42 for that. No, you chose to be homosexual. Jackie Robinson couldn't choose the color of his skin. It's that simple.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Absolute Truth Absolutely podcast. I want to thank you so much for joining us and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this program. Remember to download this podcast on our website, lwim.org, lwim.org. If you have any questions or comments, please direct those to our inbox, info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. Lastly, we ask you to visit us every Wednesday night as we conduct our Wednesday night youth meetings at 8 p.m. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. For Sarai, this has been Gio. We will see you again tomorrow for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. Until then, Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWIM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish. But a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwim.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.